called Tav Shin Pei. So last week, right, we called the beginning of Parsha, I'm sorry. It says Ve'era El Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Kel Shakai Yushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem. And the Ramban, the famous Ramban over there, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Avos using the name Kel Shakai, as opposed to the Shem Yudke Vavke. Even though he spoke to them, you see the name Hashem is used there. But in other words, the idea was that the way that Hashem dealt with them, the way Hashem dealt with them, was in a fashion of arranging the world of Teva for them. You know, they were successful in whatever they did because they're living attached to Hashem. So Hashem, they were like Hashem's foot soldiers, as it were, in the world. Right? They're revealing Hashem's name in the world. Hashem organizes things for them. That's certainly what you see in Torah Shebichtav. They're successful in this. They're protected from this, and they're Hashem. But he's not doing for them nisim gluyim, right, on a regular basis. Okay, even if you want to say that it's true that though we don't see necessarily, you know, the same breakage of the world of Teva, like we see in our parshas here in Yetzias Mitzrayim, fire and ice together, water's blood, blood's water, that sort of stuff. Even if we don't say that you saw it in Torah Shebichtav, but we do know that there are things like that with Torah Shebaal Peh, right? In other words, let's say Avram being saved in the Kiv Shana Eish, etc., things like that. But again, that was a very pointed, right? What do you call one-time affair? Here it is, you know. What do you call? He needed to be saved, so Gabriel cools down the furnace, and he's not burnt, etc. But it wasn't though like here that it was a whole year, and it was the point was made, yeah, that Teva is essentially breakable. For a whole year, they went through all these makos, which are breakages of Teva. You know, crazy things happening all the time. The normal order of the world is not being followed necessarily, and it's going through the whole year.
What does that come to show?
It shows what you call it. It shows that the Teva is also just nothing more than Hashem's will. And well, we'll see. Let's examine of what import is that. So it's a big deal. So what he calls Hashem showed him that for a whole year. He showed him that for a whole year, right? That's what he called the Zam, Sradeya, Kinim, Orov, Dever, Shin, right? A whole year there were Makos showing there's no Teva, right? There's no Teva. That Teva is only Hashem's will. But the others understood that also. They understood everything was only Hashem's will, and Hashem was not bound by anything. And not only that, but also it's not just that. It's also that when you think about it, the Jewish people live ordinarily not on a level of nisim gluyim all the time. We don't see nisim gluyim all the time. We don't see the water outside being water for us and being daggers for what we call it for our enemies.
Well, we have temple all the time.
I guess that's what I'm saying. That's precisely the point. That's precisely the point. What advantage is gleaned, you know, by the fact that for a year, right, well, let's say even though all the time they were in the desert, they were living on a miraculous level, etc. Okay, but what does that help? It's not like we live like that forever. We don't live like that all the time with nisim gluyim. We live with Teva.
Depends what you look at.
Think for a second. We don't live the same way they lived during the Makos all our lives. If anything, we're asking Hashem always to arrange our regular lives for us. Make this, what do you call it? Make that, you know, give me Satya Nishmaya, my Parnasa, what do you call it? Protect my health, what do you call it? Make sure that I have a head screwed on straight. Give me Satya Nishmaya and doing Torah mitzvahs. We're not down to a borah, you know, with fire and ice inside of it, right? That's not happening. So what's the difference? It sounds as though the Jewish people are going to be guided like that all the time afterwards. But the point is it reveals to the Jewish people, right, that essentially, they're living on a different plane from the rest of the world. In other words,
the whole world experienced the Makos.
I understand, but it was not for the whole world; it's for the Jewish people, mm-hmm. right? We're not coming to educate you as to, you know, what Hashem can do, what Hashem can't do.
I thought it was for peril.
It's meant to reveal that to him also. It's true. It's to educate him also, but it's not just to educate Paro. It's to educate us, right? It's to educate us. The knowledge that we're living essentially on a different plane. So it's true. After we leave Mitzrayim, we're not going to have Nisim Gluyim all the time, right? We're not going to have Nisim Gluyim all the time. We're going to ask Hashem to aid us in our lives, which appear to be surrounded and encapsulated by what we think of as what we call Teva, which we know HaTeva is Elohim, right? Like the Ari says, right? HaTeva is Gematria Elohim, 86. But it's the idea to know that essentially we're living on a different plane than the rest of the world. The rest of the world is living on the plane of Teva. We essentially are not living on that plane. We're living on a plane. Our job description is not just one more thing within the world, right? We're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the world reaching its completion. Everything else in the world of Teva, is Hashem's will is going towards its revelation. Everything is really is a nut, a bolt, you know, a gear in this gigantic juggernaut. Going towards the ultimate revelation of what we call Hashem's will. But nobody is dynamically involved. Nobody's dynamically working with Hashem to reveal Hashem's presence in the world. They aren't. Right? If the non-Jewish world has Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right? They have the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. That's just to make sure you don't mess up the structure of the world. But Jews are marching to the beat of a different drummer. So it's true that after all these Nisim Gluyim will no longer appear to us, right? But we have to realize that we are a different species now. We're watching on a different plane. We are part of the bris.
We're part of the bris
with Hashem, right? A bris with Hashem. No one else is living that bris, right? No one else is living that bris. So that's the idea of what we experience in Mitzrayim. It's like the introduction to you're now going to be living on a different plane, right? It's not the introduction. You're going to be living on a completely different plane. So now,
this is the end of last week's parsha.
This is the beginning of last week's parsha. Era. What do you call the idea that the Ramban there? That's what I think the Ramban is telling us. That's the idea of Hivtachti v'lo kiyamti, like Rashi says. What do you call there? That Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I promised to them, but I didn't reveal to them. What does that mean? I didn't reveal to them. In other words, in their lives, that they are marching on a different plane. They knew what they were doing. He didn't reveal to them that they were what do you call they are
that
real.
The purpose of the Makos.
The purpose of everything that took place again. Is what do you call it? There's Onish there and Scar there and all those things there. But the fact that it's done in such a miraculous fashion is to point to the fact that a Jew is not marching on the regular plane of life, right? He's not part of that world. It looks like he's part of that world, but he is not on that part of the world. So that even after we don't continue to see Nisim Gluyim, we have to know that we nowadays, yeah. We're living, you know, very lives. We've got the mortgages, right? We have to deal with difficult personalities, right? And overcome those issues, etc. And we know that we can't just allow ourselves to fall into a situation of where I think to myself, why is this? You know, why do I have to deal with this difficult personality here? Where is the ejection seat? Where is the ejection seat? Like, or where's my magnum? How can I make my day? Right? But instead, what do you call? We realize this is an Nisayon from Hashem. This is a test to see if I can improve myself. I'm marching the beat of a different drummer.
No, therefore, you're accepting the fact there's a different reality in the world.
Thank you. Okay.
Everybody has their own reality.
No, wait a minute. Don't say that. Everybody has their own reality. What do you call? If you're puffing on something, maybe it's your own reality. I'm saying the Jewish people are living on a different plane. They're living on a different plane.
Okay.
That plane is the plane of Torah and Mitzvah.
Is,
right, Torah and Mitzvah.
And that's the reality.
Right, right, that's it. That was the word that we introduced.
Teva is that reality.
So now, that's in our part, in Perek Yud Gimel, right? In Perek Yud Gimel, this is already coming towards the end of the Parsha. We're talking about the two Parshios of Kadesh and Vahayat Yeviyacha. Those are the two other Parshios we find inside of our Tefillin. Right? There's Shema, Vayom Shemoa, there's Kadesh, and Vahayat Yeviyacha. Right? Those are the four Parshios that are in our Tefillin. Two, what do you call it? The Shema and Vayom Shemoa are in Sefer Dvarim, and Kadesh and Vahayat Yeviyacha are here in Parshios Bo. So the first thing on Kadesh, Li Kol Bechor, Kol Rechem, Bivnei Yisrael, Ba'adum Vavayim, Lihu. Right? Kadesh, sanctify every Bechor, right? The firstborn, etc., Bivnei Yisrael, both of the people and of the, what do you call it, of the kosher animals, right? Afterwards they talk about Petach Hamor as well. Rashi says, Lihu, right? To me they belong. La'atzmi Kanisim Ayadei Shikesi Bechori Mitzrayim. Right. They belong to me, the Bechoros belong to me, because, why? Because I smote the Bechori Mitzrayim. Right? I was Kona them. I was Kona the Jewish Bechoros.
Is it Kaddish?
Right. Kaddish the Bechor. That's the first Pasuk. Yeah? I was Kona the Jewish Bechorim, the firstborn, through striking Bechori Mitzrayim. Says the Sisi Chachamim. The Kosher Rashi, Hakol Davar Shebolam Shelohu. Everything is Rabbon Shelohu. He's Konet. Who's he Konet? For Walmart, right? Of course, everything in the world belongs to Hashem. So it says, really cool. It says, Sister Chaim, Va'api Zeh Pirish La'atzmi Kenisim Klomar Af Im Lo Taktish Oso Hu Kadosh Ach Kadeshli Bechor Kadeshli Tekabel Schar. In other words, by my doing something unusual, of course the whole world is Hashem's, right? But by Hashem doing something unusual vis-a-vis the Jewish people, i.e. Makas Machoros, right? So then he establishes his name being connected to the Jewish people, right? In a way that it's not connected necessarily to the rest of the world. The world is, and of course we know that it's all Hashem's. But Hashem hasn't gotten out of his way to do his Ramaitha Kenyan that we see. We know the world is his, but he didn't go within the structure of the world, within the existence of the world that we're familiar with. He didn't do an action to show the world is mine. But he did do an action to show, right, that the Jewish people are mine. He by through Makas Bechoros. Through Makas Bechoros. You hear? In other words, I know the trees outside are the Ribbono Shel Olam. I know the skies are Ribbono Shel Olam. I know atoms are Ribbono Shel Olam. I know existence. I know time. I know space is real. But it's not like God says, "Look, he taps me on the shoulder every day and says, watch this, what do you call it? You see this table over here? I'm going to, what do you call it? Just to prove to you that this table is not a given objective reality, all of a sudden it's going to turn into what do you call it? Into a wildebeest.
Snake.
Right? A snake, whatever you want. Yeah? It's going to turn. It doesn't happen. But Hashem, by virtue of the fact that he struck the Mitzvah and not the Jews, he was Kone, the Jews and others, he showed something which is a Maisa Kenyan. He did an action that shows that he's the Bialim. That's what a Maisa Kenyan is. A Maisa Kenyan is when you do an act that shows that what you call your Bialus, your ownership. Either you give money, which shows what he calls the value you're showing, you're giving over value to receive that object, or hagbah, right? Mishicha, pick it up, pull it, masir, they pass it one to the other, etc. Their acts, sometimes more active, sometimes more passive, but their acts that show that what he calls that this is yours.
So you're saying Makas Bechoros is a Kenyan?
So Makas Bechoros, as we could say, with the Shasta Kenyan, it made a Maisa Kenyan, I'm going to call it the Bechor Yisrael. In other words, I did something unique to show that the Jewish people are really quite different from everybody else. They died, you didn't die. That means I did an act to show that you're mine. You're mine. And as a function of that, what do we do? So it's really you're mine anyway. But what do I tell you to do? Kadeshli, Kol Bechor. Right? Kedei shetekabel schar. So why am I being Mekadesh? Why am I sanctifying the firstborn? Why the Jewish people? You had a firstborn, you sanctify him. If it's, what do you call it? If it's an animal, there's certain hanhagas you have to do. You have to, it's already Kadosh. dirty kosher. Hashem made it kosher. Shows it's his. He says, "I why kadesh li kol b'chor, you sanctified kadesh to kabel schar. Do an act called a mitzvah, showing me that you are my partner in this, right? My what do you call it? I showed that you're mine. So you're mine no matter what, right? Because I've made a kinyan on you, right?
That's
above and above and beyond the fact that everything is mine because I created it.
Yes, of course.
Right? But right. So what do you call it? By doing that special act, I showed that you're mine. And now what I want you to do is I want you to reflect your understanding of that reality that you are mine by doing what's called a mitzvah. And you be mekadesh the bechor. So the concept of mitzvos, right, is a concept, yeah, because we're living on a different plane. A mitzvah is not just a physical action. It's not just a physical action that a person does, right? Right? You know, you can drink, you can go to the bathroom, right? You can recall, you can procreate, you could, you know, drive your car or record or get on a bus, etc. And you also can do something called a mitzvah. A mitzvah is really something which is not part of the natural world. It uses the props of the natural world, but it's not what you call the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah is really something that's totally, right, called otherworldly, other plain worldly, etc. So Hashem says, I went out of my way, right, to show that you are uniquely mine through what he calls Ramakas Bechoros. Now, I want you to participate with me, not because you're going to change the reality, you make yourself any more mine than you already are, right, because I already did that. But I want you to go through an action that shows your understanding of this. That's called a mitzvah. That's called a mitzvah. Right? And you receive reward for that. You receive reward for showing that you're living to do what? To do mitzvos. To live with me together. Right? Mitzvah is miloshem tzavta, to be together with Hashem. A mitzvah shows you together with me. Be together with me. We hear.
What was the fourth one? It is Shema Shmoa Kadesh. And what was the fourth one again?
Vahaya Ki Yevi'acha. That's also here in Perek Gimel.
Vahayahi?
Vahaya Ki Yevi'acha. Okay. So fine. So now we know, right, that with the introduction, like the Ramban told us in the beginning of our era, that this was what we call, all of this is to show that we're living on a different plane. Now we start with what we call the idea of Hashem being kone us. Now you participate, right, with me with this new, as it were, interaction that we're going to carry out, and you're going to participate with me with what we call mitzvos. So you'll be together with me betzavta. It's similar to what the Nefesh HaChaim says, that when a Jew decides to do a mitzvah, he is surrounded by what's called Or HaMakif. Right, a light that surrounds him, and it's within that bubble of Or HaMakif that he's mekayim the mitzvah.
How do you get into a more makif now?
I'm saying this idea of what a mitzvah is.
Yes.
Right, that a mitzvah is really an act that exists on a different plane. It uses physical things. You wind tefillin on, you shake a lulav, etc. But really, a mitzvah, uh-huh, it is on a different plane. You're doing something totally elevated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so chashuv to think. What do you call it? Why? I mean, the mitzvah trichos kavana. You have to know you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Hashem. Because you have to realize, I'm really, when I do a mitzvah, I'm stepping out of this world. It looks like I'm in this world, mm-hmm, right? But I'm stepping out of this world. I'm on a different plane now. I'm on a different plane.
Well, you don't have too many choices. You got to.
Okay. Could we please?
All right.
Could please, don't talk nonsense. Okay. Okay. So now, the next stage. My own Moshe La'am. Also, what I was saying, the Nefesh HaChaim says that when you're ready to do a mitzvah, you're surrounded by this surrounding light. It's within that bubble of light that you do the mitzvah, and then after you finish the mitzvah, that rises upward, that becomes your schar. You hear it? The way you do the mitzvah, The way you do the mitzvah, that becomes your schar, because when you're doing the mitzvah, you're not just doing what you call it, a pro forma physical act. It's true, you're doing physical things, right? But you're on a really on a different plane. But we can't touch that schar then. But then what happens is it surrounds and then it goes upstairs. That becomes our schar. Vayom Moshe Alam, yeah. Zechor et hayom hazeh asher yatzatzem mimitzrayim mibeis avadim ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yeachel chametz. Here, this is the next pasuk here in Kadesh, right? Again, this is the first of the two parshios in the Tefillin that appear in Parshas Bo. We're in Kadesh Liko Bechor. Here, the next pasuk says, right? Remember that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of slaves. Ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yeachel chametz. Bechozek yad, right? So the Sifse coin from Tzvas, he explains that we call it the bechozek yad is he took us out, yeah, with a strong hand. What does he mean, strong hand? Hashem, Hashem's weak. Hashem is strong. When the idea of a strong hand over here is that even though we are not necessarily deserving. He took us out. We say in the bracha of Geula in Shmoneh Esrei, Ki goel chazak ata, for your powerful redeemer. What does that mean, he's a powerful redeemer? What did you think? You know, you need to, maybe you should, every of course Hashem is powerful, he's the creator, everything is his. Powerful redeemer is, we live in a world where he's given us Bechira Chafshis. We mess up with that Bechira Chafshis, right? And nonetheless, he redeems us. He's overcoming our deficiencies. So that's the first thing. Remember, Hashem is a goel chazak because to understand this relationship, that's what these psukim are defining for us. It's explaining that our relationship with Him, right? He's a goel chazak. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and then the pasuk is a bizarre pasuk if you look at it. Right? Hashem, Moshe said to the people, Zachor es hayom hazeh, remember this day, Asher yatzatzem Mitzrayim, where you left Mitzrayim, mi beis avadim, the house of slaves, ki bechozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem, he took you out with chozek yad, the coin says, bechozek yad, he took you out, despite your deficiencies. That's the strength of his hand, right? He overcame our deficiencies, right? Hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh, from here, right? V'lo ye'echal chametz, and don't eat chametz. It's a non sequitur. It's like, you know, huh? Maybe we should say also what he called, and don't chew bubblegum in class. I mean, look, he said, let's go talk mitzvah. Maybe we know to lulav. I don't know, go dip the mikvah. We're talking about, he took you out, he took you out of Egypt, the chosek you out, stop, period. What do you mean, below yechal chametz? Because since chametz is the symbol, right, of the Yetzer Hara. Right, that's the Yetzer Hara, right? If you remember, before you burn your chametz and Erev Pesach, the whole thing there, we call it, you know, from the Yavetz, you know, about how we're symbolically also burning a Yetzer Hara. We're burning chametz. But the idea of Seor Shabbat East is always referred to in Chazal, the leavening in the dough is what inflates things, which makes things look like what they're not. Yeah, bigger than they are, you know. Wow, we have a lot of pleasure. Wow, we have a lot of money. Wow, we have a lot of cover. And people do lots of stupid things because of that, right? Because the Yetzer Hara, he fakes them out. So he says, "V'lo ye'echel chametz, don't eat. Remember, don't." He points out, "Don't eat chametz. Don't think you're so holy that you deserve to come out, right? So therefore, beware. Don't mess yourself over. Make sure during your Pesach that you don't eat chametz. Chametz is the symbol of giving in to the system of fantasy, right? Just like the dough, you pound it, and." It rises, full of hot air. It's not real, right? V'leir chochametz. Next. Tells us that, recall, then next, it says that Hashem is going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. V'hayaki yaviyacha Hashem el Eretz HaKnani, HaChiti, HaEmori, HaChivi, VaYibusi, HaShenishbal HaVosech, HaLos HaYislecha, Eretz Zavas Cholot Vash. Hashem is going to bring you to the land of Israel. Right? Land flowing with milk and honey, right? Vavarat says avoda azos bechodesh hazeh. And you'll do the Pesach, right, ceremony every year during this month. Shivas yamin tochal matzos, right? You 7 days, you'll eat matzos, Right, even on the, what do you call it, the seventh day will also be a yontif, matzos yeochel, etc., 7 days, you shouldn't have a chometz, so sa'or, in your, what do you call it, in your boundaries. Then, what would it say? Right after that, he got it to Levincha, and you will say to your son, Bayomahu, on that day, Lemur, as following, Bavuzer asar Hashem li betesi mitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Ba'avur zeh. So within the context of coming, right, to Eretz Yisrael and being kind of the mitzvahs of Pesach, those national mitzvahs, right, all the Jewish people bring the Korban Pesach, etc. You only eat chametz, you only eat matzah, etc. Then you tell over to your child, you'll tell to him, ba'avur zeh, for the sake of this, the sake, which is, that is an explanation, though it's not so pashut. Asa Hashem li b'tesi mitzrayim. Hashem did this for me in Mitzrayim. In the understanding of ba'avur zeh, what does that mean? For the sake of, because of, in order to, right, the word ba'avur, it can have a lot of meanings over here. And let's see, what do you call, we're going to see, as it were, right, we're going to see three, pirushim, and actually a fourth as well.
On
ba'avur zeh, ba'avur these words, ba'avur zeh. This is what you say. This is what we say to the ben she'enu de l'shol and leil haseder. This is the pasuk. This is probably the she'enu de l'shol. A son who doesn't know, right? You got to teach him. Well, how are you going to teach him? Teach him this. He say to him on that day. Let's say leil haseder. Ba'avur zeh for the sake of this, or for the purpose of this, or through this. Asa Hashem li b'tesi mitzrayim. Hashem did for me in my going out of Mitzrayim. Rashi says, what's the bavur zeh? Bavur shekayim mitzvosav. The bavur means, why did Hashem take me out of Mitzrayim? For what purpose? Right? So that I could sing Born Free? Me and the lions? Right? Why did he take me out of Mitzrayim? He took me out of Mitzrayim to be mekayim mitzvos. That's what Rashi says. That's what you teach your son who doesn't know. Teach him that Hashem, the only reason Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is that we should be Mekayim Mitzvos. Right? Not to what he called, not to have fancy cars, and not what he called, and not to go on, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having it, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going on a nice vacation, but we shouldn't think that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order to do that. He took us out to be Mekayim Mitzvos. Once again, those mitzvos are all for our benefit. Right? They're all for our benefit. We receive schar for them. That's great, but you've got to know that that's the only reason he took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim also in such a miraculous fashion, so that we would be mekayim these things called mitzvos, which essentially exist on a plane, which is a miraculous plane. Right? They're not just physical actions. They are physical in terms of we deal with physical objects, but the meaning of these actions is what you call it, is on a different plane. So that's what Rashi says. For the sake of giving mekayim mitzvos. The Rashbam says, "Bavur zeh she'asali nisim b'Mitzrayim ani ovid avoda azos." Bavur zeh, because Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, right? Therefore, I'm doing mitzvos. Because He did these nisim for me in Mitzrayim, I'm doing these mitzvos. In other words, it's not explaining why did He take me out of Mitzrayim. He's explaining to me that through His taking me out of Mitzrayim, I do the mitzvos. Right? Sha'asli, bavur zeh, sha'asli, nisim b'mitzrayim, ani ovid avoda azos. Because he took me out of Mitzrayim on a different level, so now I'm in the world of mitzvos. That's why I'm doing mitzvos. I'm doing mitzvos because he elevated me out of the natural world and put me on a different plane, therefore I'm doing mitzvos. So that's different from Rashi. Rashi says the words bavur zeh are coming to explain why did he take me out of Mitzrayim? To be mekayim mitzvos. Rashbam is saying, right, how do I have the ability to do mitzvos? Right? How do I have the ability to do mitzvos? I have the ability to do mitzvos, why? Because he took me out of Mitzrayim. But was there she'asali nisim Mitzrayim ani ovid et avodah zos. By taking me out of Mitzrayim and making a demonstrative statement that really calls that I'm a different plane, I'm able to be mekayim mitzvos.
A little harder to understand.
Okay, let's really go explain it. These are two different fundamental philosophical principles over here, right?
Fundamental.
Right, fundamental. Right. Rashi is telling us, what's my purpose in life?
Right, that's Pashut.
That's Pashut. Right? He took me out to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. The Rashbam, as it were, is saying that my ability to do mitzvahs, or this unique relationship of doing mitzvahs with Hashem, to being together with Tzavta, to be together with Hashem, is a function of his having taken me out of Mitzrayim. Because when he took me out of Mitzrayim, he put me on a different plane. Once he put me on this different plane, because he's not dealing with me on the natural level. Right? I'm not just a natural person. I'm not just a natural person. So since I'm not just a natural person, so now I engage in acts which are not natural acts. I do mitzvos. Mitzvos are supernatural acts. I mean, not supernatural, the fact that you see lightning bolts, you know, when you do them, right? But supernatural acts, they're from a different plane. By taking the Adam Mitzrayim, now I have the ability to do mitzvos.
Why?
Because it's like if I tell you, right, I tell you, I want you to speak French from now on, right? I want you to speak French from now on. He said, what are you, Fruit Loops? I don't speak French. I can't speak French. But then what I do is I put you in a trance, right, Kilo, and I rewire your brain, yeah? So that your lips get a little bit thicker, and you say je suis, je m'appelle Avram, right? So instead, when I ask you what's your name, so you say, you didn't say my name's Avram. Je m'appelle Avram, yeah. Je suis le juif. I am a Jew, right? Etc. You've been rewired, right? When Akash Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of the natural world, he propelled them onto a plane, right? It's not a plane that we see all the time now, but it looks like we're walking the same terra firma, yeah? Looks like we're walking the same earth, like everybody else in the world. Like the Aborigines and the neo-Nazis, Lahavdil, and all the rest of the Chevra Kadisha. But we're not on the same plane. We're marching to the beat of a different drummer. That enables us to do mitzvos. That enables us to do mitzvos. To be together with Hashem, because he said, come to me, be with me. If he didn't invite us to be with him, so we could do the acts all the time, but they wouldn't be mitzvos. They're just, they're facsimiles. They're cheap Chinese imitations, but not the real thing. But because he took us out of Mitzrayim, he lifted us up, therefore we can do mitzvos. So that's really cool. It's a different fundamental. It causes a person to realize when you're doing mitzvos, you know what a merit that is? You know what a schus that is? You know what do you call it? You know that you are living out something that's completely right, completely another world. First thing is Rashi tells us, get a grip. Why did Hashem give us freedom? The Ibn Ezra, right? The Ibn Ezra says, I mean, the Rashbam says that you know how you can do, how can you do these things, these supernatural acts? Because Hashem went out of his way to take you out of Mitzrayim with Nisim, to elevate you, put you on a different plane. Right? And then the Ibn Ezra says that the message is, what's the message going to be? A perish bavur is there, bavur zos avoda, sheachilas matzah, velo yeocha chometz, shutchilas hamitzos, shetziva lanu Hashem, osa lanu Hashem, right? Osos, ad shotzianu mitzrayim. The Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra says that Hashem, the ability, right? The method by which Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, he says, be osik in mitzvos, and now you're worthy to be on a different plane. And that's how I took you out of Mitzrayim. See, it's really cool. It's three different panim, it's three different faces. Three different faces to the mitzvah relationship. Three different faces to it. Rashi's face is And if I tell you, we quote the Rashi faces, like let's say he's talking to us. You know, we're involved in our mundane things. We're getting preoccupied. We're doing dumb things. We're doing things maybe more than just dumb. Maybe they're usher, etc. Right? We forget about, oh yeah, I got to do the mitzvah. It becomes something very peripheral to our lives. It becomes something very, 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 very secondary in our lives. Rashi says, get a grip. Why did Hashem take that out of Mitzrayim? Right? He didn't take that out of Mitzrayim to sing born free. He didn't take that out of Mitzrayim even to eat pizza. Again, there's nothing wrong with eating pizza. It's a fine thing to eat. But I think the reason that we came out of Mitzrayim is so I should just go about it. I should live like a goy, you'll excuse me, but just having to enjoy gefilte fish, right? Then I missed the point. That's not why he took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim to Mekayim Mitzvahs, to live on a different plane, right? Fine. The Rashbam says, it's a different thing. He says that the idea of Bavur Zeh is, how are you able to be Mekayim? How are you able to do these unworldly, these otherworldly acts? Because Hashem has put you on a different plane. So if Rashi is sort of like a little bit of a patch to the face. Hello? Hey, Francine, wake up. You know, like, what's the story? Why do you think you're here for? Right? Oh, okay, I got it. Okay? The Rashbam is saying, do you realize you're living on a different plane? You might think you're chopped liver. You might think you're absolutely nothing. You might think you're garbage. You have to know that you are living on an exalted plane. Right? And that's what enables you to do mitzvahs, to be to mitzvah, to be together with Hashem. Because you're on a different plane. Hashem was koni you. He took you out of Mitzrayim through Nisim. Right? In order to show you that you're His. You're together with Him. That's how you can do mitzvahs. Do you realize what a merit that is? Do you realize how chashuv you are? How chashuv you are? Since one is a little slap and the other one is really cool, is a tweak. It's a kiss. Do you realize how chashuv you are? And Ibn Ezra says the same different thing. How did we merit going out of Mitzrayim? No slave had ever escaped from Mitzrayim. How did we merit that? What was the methodology? What was our ticket, what was our key to being able to be able to take it out of Mitzrayim? The fact Hashem gave us mitzvos, so we're connected to Him. That became the linchpin, that became the main gear that enabled us to leave Mitzrayim. So that speaks to the chashivus of mitzvos. How chashiv of mitzvos. Mitzvos, when you're with mitzvos, right? It's like the Rambam says, yeah? A person who's completely dovek by Hashem. Rambam Mor Nevuchim, right? The 18th parak and the 51st, I think. But he talks about the idea that when you are totally with Hashem, nothing can touch you. No, you're totally. I mean, again, what do you call it? It's rare for somebody totally with Hashem. But the idea that, like I say, David HaMelech, right? Like the Gemara describes, that the Malchamavis couldn't take him because he was totally with Hashem. So Malchamavis had to pull off a trick to distract him, and then he was able to take him. But that's the idea, that when you are totally with Hashem, when you're in the world of mitzvahs, so when we entered into the world of mitzvahs, we were able to be taken out of Mitzrayim.
What mitzvahs do we do?
Pesach Matzah Morah. Also Mila as well, right? But Pesach Matzah Morah.
What about Bechorah?
Kiddush Bechorah, I don't know if they necessarily did then. That's what they were going to do later. But I'm talking about in the actual Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they did Pesach Matzah Morah.
When?
What do you call that evening?
That evening.
Right, the evening, what do you call it? And then Chatzos came, the Malach HaMoves, and that was the end of the Bechorah.
We need at least something,
what do you call it? In order to be able to get into the country club, right, you got to have a certain number of points on your card, right? You got to need some points on your credit card, you know? 10 is not enough. 15 is not enough. What do you call it? This amount is not enough to, what do you call it, to be propelled above the natural world. Did you do Pesach Matzah tomorrow? Fine. you can get out. The Meshech Chachma says, I mean, this is a different type of idea, but anybody calls it's also related to this. He says, because how did the Pesukim start? The Pesukim here in Pesuk Hey starts with Vayaki Yevyachar Hashem El Eretz Haknani Achitia Moriah Prizi Chivi Yusi, right, etc. Hashem brought us to land to Eretz Israel. And then afterwards we say Vigadat Levincha Vayom Hulei Mor Babuzeas Hashem Li B'Tzeis Mitzrayim, right, right. So, okay. I won't do too much. Recall, but concentrate. I won't do too much. I won't do the whole thing. Recall. So the Meshech Chachma says here this idea of telling your son Babuzeas Hashem Li B'Tzeis Mitzrayim is telling him that why did Hashem do Nisim for us, right?
That's the Meshech Chachma question.
The Meshech Chachma is saying, what's the connection between our coming to Eretz Israel, and then you're saying three psukim later, you say to your son, "Ba'avuzeh Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim," right? It's a whole different idea.
Coming into Eretz Israel.
He's first talking about Vayaki Aviyacha when Hashem brings you to Eretz Israel, right? And then afterwards, says Vigadat Levincha Bayom Hulei Mor. You tell your son as follows: Ba'avuzeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeis Mitzrayim. The Meshech Chachma says the Ba'avuzeh is going on coming to Eretz Israel. That's why Hashem did the Nisim and it flows for us. Why? In Mitzrayim, he says as follows. So what's it comparable to? It's comparable to a father, right, who's got an only daughter, and he wants to marry her off, and he finds a young man, right, to marry her off to, an excellent young man, great qualifications, etc., and he gives them everything, right? She's bedecked. And they have a house to live in, and everything is comfortable, and everything is fine, and etc. And his wife, the father's wife, is very excited. Wow, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this terrific? Everything is perfect. And the father says, not yet, right? You don't know yet. You don't know that it's perfect, right? Because right now, we're taking care of everything for them, right? And we see he's a loyal son-in-law and a good husband, you know? Because look, everything is fine. He's got a house, got a nice house, got a comfortable place to be, right, etc. His wife looks lovely, etc. Everything is fine. There are no problems. There are no issues. So where would we expect him to be treacherous, right, at this point, or not to show responsibility? He has no opportunity. Further down the line, right? And we're going to see that he's going to work to make a living, right? And he's willing to put himself out on the line in order to take care of his wife and his family, etc. Then we know, right? Then we know his head and his heart are in the right place. Right now, what can you tell? Everything is fine. He's living in nirvana, right? So too, says what he called, Bob, Hashem is going to bring you to Eretz Israel. Then we'll know, right? Says what he called the Torah. Then we'll know. When you're involved in sowing the land, right, and plowing the land, and reaping the land, etc., and when you get very easy to get caught up in all those mundane affairs, but if you're still going to remain focused on the mitzvos, then we'll know that all the effort that Hashem went to take us out of Mitzrayim, Kav Yochel, was worth it. When he takes us out of Mitzrayim, right, and he's carrying us on wings of eagles. Right, he takes it, does 10 makos for us. Splits the sea for us. He gives us mun. He gives us be'er. He gives us anani akavod, etc. So everything hunky dory. So that proves that we're really committed. Not 100%, because life is a plum. When the chips are down, life gets a little bit tougher. Or in the case over here, there are other things to be occupied with. Will you still remain your focus on Torah mitzvahs? Or will you be preoccupied with money and power and pleasure? That's what he called. This is another lesson to tell the son. How do we know, recall, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? But we're there to see if in the regular world, right, the world of, what do you call it, of plowing, of sowing, of reaping, right, of having to, what do you call it, to make a living, etc., for yourself, where we see, right, where we see over there, when times are not so easy, then we'll see, what do you call it, that the Hashem's investment in us, right, was worth it. Babu was there when you really caught when you're in Eretz Israel living that type of life. Then we know that why Hashem took really caught that his taking time of Mitzrayim was a worthwhile investment. The Meshech Chama goes to the point to say that the Medrash says over here Babu was there, right? Bizman she matzo umoror munachim lefanecha. Doesn't say Pesach. You know, if we see the Jewish people are still being strong to remain connected to mitzvahs, even though there is no Korban Pesach anymore, why? Because we're in Golus. Regardless, then we know, what do you call it, that we're really attached to Hashem. Then we know that Hashem, what do you call it, that we understand that Hashem has acquired us, right, through what do you call it, through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because we remain faithful, right, even when times are tough. Right? In the Psukim, all you see is remain faithful even when you're not surrounded with miracles. You're sowing, you're plowing, you're reaping, etc. Threshing, but we call it in the Medrash goes a step further. Even in times we call, how do we really know? When times are tough, they stay connected. So just recall. We're just going to do recall. I think right. Recall. One more minute. One last time because it's your side today.
Oh really?
Yeah. So what do you call? So we'll just
have a suda?
No. So we're just going to do this. What do you call? Let's do what you call. Move it over a little bit. Let's do one. What do you call it? One. This Meshech Chachma and then the Bleeding Nerus Fasavs. Pasek says. Yeah. I don't have a schnitzel hammer with me. V'ha'yel chala os. Al yodcha ulzikaron b'ni necha leman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha ki biyad chazaka otziyacha Hashem Mitzrayim. Right? V'hayilacha and it shall be for you. This is what it's called. V'hayilacha la'os. It should be for you a sign on your hand ulzikaron b'ni necha and a memory. Right?
That's the tefillin.
Right? Tefillin. Right? It's a reference to tefillin. Here it doesn't say shatam la'os la'idach v'yulisut tefos b'ni necha. Here it says v'hayilacha la'os al yodcha ulzikaron b'ni necha. Leman tiyatoras Hashem beficha. So the words of Hashem should be in your mouth. Ki biyad chazaka tziyacha Hashem Mitzrayim. That Hashem took you out biyad chazaka. Okay. Says the Meshech Chachma. An os, a sign, is what do you call a sign showing towards the future. Like what's going to be. This is a sign of what's coming up. Coming attractions.
What?
An os. The idea of an os.
The miracles.
You're wearing your tefillin. The tefillin are meant to be for you an os. Mm-hmm. An os, what you call it, is something which is a prelude, which is a sign to what's going to take place, right? As the Quran is to remind you of what took place already.
How's it going to become an os?
An os, the tefillin. But how you os how you thought the tefillin that you're going to wear on your hand.
How is it going to actually work?
Time out. First, what do you call? Let's just understand what the words mean. First, he's differentiating between the word os and zikaron. The tefillin is serving as an os and a zikaron. It's an os on your yad. It's an os on your yad. And it's a zikaron between your eyes. Right? On your tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel yad is an os. Tefillin shel rosh is a zikaron. The os is what he called. The os. Is telling you about what's going to be, a sign of what's going to be. Just like a sign shows you, where's the end of the road, where's this going to. Nachon? Right? So that's what os is. A zikaron is to remind you what was already. Nachon? Once the future, once we, the tefillin shel yad is speaking, right, to the future, mm-hmm. The tefillin shel rosh is speaking to the past.
Okay?
He says, what's the difference between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh?
One's the future, one's the past.
Very good. The tefillin shel yad, Baruch Hashem. The tefillin shel yad has all the partios together. There's no differentiation between them. And it's all one long... What the Tzul and Shilyad is all one long scroll. Right? Nachon? The Tzul and Shorosh is four scrolls. In four compartments. In what we call the Os, right? The Os, says the Meshech Chacham, it's so exquisite. The Os is a testimony to the fact that we're Hashem loves the Jewish people. Right? He loves the Jewish people. He loves us. Right? And that's what he called Ki b'yad chazakot ziyachah Hashem Yitzrayim. His strong hand is the love that he has for us. The love that he has for us. Right? That's why he took us out of Mitzrayim, even though we weren't deserving. Right? Right? But the love he has for all the Jewish people is equal. The love he has for all the Jewish people is equal. He loves us all.
Even if you don't put the film on?
Even. Right? Obviously, it's what he calls. It's not. Wait, we're not finished, though. No. In the Rosh, it's compartmentalized. Why? Because that's speaking to Hashem's Hashgacha upon us here. In other words, well, depending on how plugged in you are, that's the level of Hashgacha that Hashem deals. Right? Right? It's like children. Like children. You love all your children. Right? You love all your children. But you know,
love and one's hatred.
No. You love all your children. But some you can have more of a meaningful conversation with, right?
True.
So the older ones you could have more of a meaningful conversation with. Others require, you don't have the same sort of conversation. But you love them all equally. You love them all equally. So on the yad, right? And that's talking about, that's the oath. Even if we think,
that's what I'm saying. Somebody loves more, somebody hates less.
No, he doesn't. With some people, you can have more of a conversation with, that means your connection with them is different. Then you love them more or less. You love them all equally. Right? But the way you deal with them is different. With one you can talk to about, what do you call it, talking about potatoes and tomatoes. With the other one you can talk to about, what do you call it, about Chumash. The other one you can talk to about Gemara. The other one you can talk to with Zohar. The other one you can talk to with, what do you call it, with Gano Kisri Arizal. You can talk about different things. You can't talk to them all with the same thing. But you love them equally. Even though this one you're talking to about tomatoes and potatoes, the other one you're talking to about, what do you call it, about the Zohar. Right? So in the world of the Yad, we're all together, right? It's all one of the God, and that's the oath. That's the sign in the future. Hashem will take us out of the next Golas. He'll take us out of this Golas. Because even if we're not deserving, but He loves us, He'll figure out the way, but He'll get us out. That's the oath of the future. In the Tzul Shorosh, the four different compartments, the four different compartments. Just like the four we call in Lulav, right? There's the Lulav, what we call it, there's the Hadassim, there's the Aravos of the Esrog. The Esrog has got both taste and what we call it, and fragrance. The Lulav has got what we call representing the Tamarim, the dates, has got taste without any fragrance. The Hadassim have no taste, but they have fragrance. The Aravos have none, right? That's representing different types of Jews. Jews who are dynamic in Torah and in mitzvahs. Jews whose dynamism is found in Torah, but not necessarily in mitzvahs. Jews whose dynamism is found in mitzvahs. And Jews, unfortunately, are not connected anywhere. Right? There's no dynamism there. There's no dynamism in record, either in Torah or mitzvahs. But they're all there, but they're separate compartments. The hashgacha is with them different. So in other words, we have to remember the zikaron. The Koran is to remember the truth of Hashem's involvement with us. Right? The truth of Hashem's involvement is His Hashgacha with us. We always have to remember that. Remember what we learned in Mitzrayim. Right? Remember His Hashgacha with us, and that Hashgacha with us depends on how deeply we're plugged in. That's on the Tzul and Shorosh, that's on the head. That's on the head. But in the Yad, that's the oath for the future, that He loves us and He's going to take us out. And finally, let's just recall, we'll do this Fasemis because this is your tzeit, right? Right? This is all the first parsha of what he called of Kadesh. The Sfasemis says.
What, in the particular one?
In, yeah, the parsha of Kadesh, the Bechor, that's what we did one parsha. We didn't do Bahayaki, just did Kadesh.
Is that the first
pasuk
we learned?
Yeah, all of this is really cool. This is in Kadesh, the Bechor. This is really cool. That's the one of those parshas in our parsha and in Tehillim, and in Tefillin. The Tefillin. Yeah, it starts already here, being a Perek Gimel. Right? Darashem Shalemur, Kadesh li kol b'chor, petek ol rechem, etc. So now, what do you call this? Fasemish says, the Pasuk says, V'hayil os ha-yotcha, right? U'l-zikaron ben inecha, l'man ki etoras Hashem b'ficha. So the Torah of Hashem should be in your, what do you call it, in your mouth. Says the, what do you call this? Fasemish, that the koach of tefillin, right? Brings out the letters of Torah which are inside of a Jew and allows the Torah to come out of his mouth. And it's by being Mekadesh himself, right? Being Mekadesh himself with the tefillin, right? Being Mekadesh himself with the tefillin that enables the Kedusha that's inside of him to come out of his mouth. When you think about it, on tefillin, right? On tefillin, we call the Shem Hashem, you're writing the Shem Hashem on yourself. You've got the shin, two shinim, on what you call the shalrosh. You've got a dalet on the kesher behind you, what you call behind your neck, right? Right behind your head. I should say behind your neck, not your neck. Behind your head, there's a dalet there, and on the tefillin shel yad the yud spells the same shakai. You wrote the Shem Hashem upon you, right? You wrote that Shem Hashem upon you. You wrote the Shem Hashem upon you that enables the Torah to come out of your mouth. Lamanti Torah Hashem b'ficha.
We're putting on tefillin. It's raising our refrigerator. So therefore, we have.
So therefore, what he calls that enables because you're embedded. This is the way Sfasemis, what he calls, always learns the idea of a bracha. Asher kiddushanu. Hashem sanctified us, right? And through the mitzvos, the kedusha inside of us is able to come out. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, right? Hashem was mekadesh us with his mitzvot, and he embedded inside of us kedushas of mitzvot, v'tzivanu, and he said, do the act, whatever it happens to be, tzivos lulav, halachas tefillin, whatever it happens to be, right? And that enables the kedusha to come out, the kedushas of mitzvot that's embedded inside of us, right, to come out. So the Sfasemis says the grand, right, called enabler of all of these, right, called of all of our ability to say that the Divrei Torah is by putting tefillin on ourselves, writing Hashem's name on us, right? Writing Hashem's name on us. The shin dalad yud, right? The shin on the rosh, the dalad on the kesher of the rosh, the yud on the kesher of the yad, record that enables l'manti a Torah Hashem b'ficho, so the Torah Hashem will come out of mouth. On Shabbos, you don't need tefillin. Why? Because Shabbos, right, is an os unto itself. Shabbos is really called yet your neshama yisera. That, as it were, elevates your entire internal system, so it's able to break through the physical on the outside without needing the facilities of tefillin to recall to break through the physicality of our exteriors.
That's the shem. What is the word supposed to do?
What?
It doesn't put on tefillin.
Hashem, what he called, again, there's, you know, first of all, a woman is not mechuyeves necessarily in Talmud Torah, right? A woman bechlal, right? When you think about it, we call women bechlal, the Gemara says in Brachos, G'dola avtocha shivticha kodesh baruch hu l'nashim, yosim min ha-nashim. Greater is the promise that Hashem made, right, to women than he made to men, right? Made to men, right? With regard to the Olam Haba. So the Iyun Yaakov, right, the Reish HaRav, says over there, why? Because the klal is godel hamaase yosem min haose. Greater is the one who causes someone to do a mitzvah than the person who does the mitzvah itself. Yeah. The women are the grand enablers of klal Yisrael. The grand enablers of klal Yisrael, right? And they recall, they encourage the husbands, they encourage their children, they help everybody call it. The godel hamaase yosem min haose. So what enables them, what gives them, right, what gives them the merit is because they are, just like a tefillin, just like a tefillin are enabling, right, are enabling the Torah that's inside of you to come out. Because if you've written your Hashem's name on you, the women are the enablers of Klal Yisrael. So fine. So everybody should have a good Shabbos, and we choose all of them to do well.